Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
Oh, yeah. This one takes me back to senior year high school. Boom, ba-da-bum, bum, 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 bum. All right, 203. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We got a lot on the table. We open with the breaking news of, as you just heard from Marco, Weaver for the New York Yankees, their closer, going on the IL for 4 to 6 weeks with a hamstring, and what that means for the Yankees and what that could mean for Devin Williams. Obviously, the Mets just coming off a victory in extra innings, in 10 innings against the Dodgers, 4-3. Lindor with the leadoff home run. Blackburn with an incredible first start of the year coming off the IL. The Mets just continue to do it. It's incredible what they're doing with this rotation. And Vientos with a hamstring injury of his own could open up the door for Mauricio to join this team as he's killing it. The young prospect of the New York Mets, who we got our first glimpse of a couple years ago, just killing it down in the minor leagues. So we'll see what happens there. And then, of course, the New York Knicks, as we are still in trying to figure out what's best for this team, how they blew this team, how they blew the series. And moving forward, who's the best head coach moving forward? And I'll tell you this, like, I know that's been the two main people who've gotten the most flack are Tibbs and Karl-Anthony Towns. And for me, I think way too much blame has fallen at the feet of Karl-Anthony Towns. Just way too much. I'm not happy with him. I'm not happy with anyone on this team. And he deserves a fair share of criticism. Absolutely. He was terrible defensively. He was terrible in this game. Throughout times in this postseason, he would disappear or not play well without question. Without question, for the $50 million price tag and the hopes of being the guy to take them to the promised land, not good enough. But you could say not good enough about a lot of players on this team. Josh Hart, not good enough. Jalen Brunson, not good enough. OG Anunoby, not good enough. Mikal Bridges, not good enough. A lot of players on this team. And Karl-Anthony Towns won them game three, almost single-handedly in the fourth quarter. And if you look at his numbers, he scored a lot of points in this series. He averaged 20-plus points a game. And he had one of the highest... I'll double-check the stat because I know the guy who tweeted it. I want to go back and look at it. I believe he had the highest plus-minus in the entire series for the Knicks. Like, the idea that he is the focal point of why they lost, other than being was supposed to be the focal point of why they won, and I understand that point... I don't think he is the prominent guy to look at on why they lost this series. I really don't. And he's getting a lot of flack. And then the same thing with the head coach. I'll tell you right now, I think it would be a major mistake to fire Tibbs. I do not think right now I wouldn't fire him off this year. They just won a series against the the defending champ Boston Celtics. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years. He has turned around this franchise. He has the love of the team. He has the love of the captain and the most important player in Jalen Brunson. And I do think he can adapt. In fact, he threw the bench out more than ever in this series. He did adapt. Now, you could argue too late. And you can argue he's got his fair share of blame in this series without question. But I am not giving up on Tibbs. He has turned this thing around. He has been too damn good for this franchise and this team. I am giving him a second year with this group. I am not firing him off of 1 year. And I know reports are out there that he hasn't necessarily got the vote of confidence yet. There hasn't been a sign of Tibbs is coming back. We all know Leon Rose loves him. We all know Jalen Brunson loves him. And I guess, and I heard Evan say this too, I was listening a little bit to today, to the Afternoon Drive show. The worst case scenario, and I believe Evan is 100% accurate when he says this, and I want to start by saying the owner, I believe, also, forget, I know he's been a bad owner overall, and the Knicks franchise has been a disaster for long, and everything that goes with it. He has been a hands-off owner for a while now. He allowed Phil Jackson to run this team. I do not think he has meddled as much as some will say. But the worst case scenario is him being behind the ousting of the head coach. Like, if Leon Rose wants him, if Brunson wants him, you keep him. And the idea that the Knicks and ownership or even front office would bow to some sort of pressure that is felt by the media outcry and some other people around basketball that Tibbs isn't the guy, I think would be a huge mistake. I don't know who you're going to hire that you know can do better. And he did take this team to places it hasn't been in 25 years, and he beat the defending champs and had a good series doing it. 888-808-1019. Let's get to your calls on any of those topics. And we'll talk to Jeff in Fort Lee. What's up, Jeff?
Chris, what's going on, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you? Thanks for holding on. I appreciate it.
You know, hey, you're worth it. I have three very quick Nick Pacer points.
Sure.
But if Jay Wright or Bobby Hurley become available, or if they're interested, I would have to think about it. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, I mean, I don't know about as great a coach as Hurley is, and he is a great coach. Hurley would scare me with his mentality in the NBA game. You can't coach these guys like you coach college kids. You just can't. Now, I'm not saying he can't make the adjustment, and he knows it better than I do. I'm not saying I know anything that he doesn't know. It would just make me a little nervous. He's a great coach. I would be excited for it. Jay Wright obviously has the connection to so many of the players on the team and was an incredibly, good head coach, and I think I could envision that transition to the NBA a little bit easier for him than Hurley, but even them, like, I don't think if any of those guys knocked on my door, I have to go fire Tibbs. I really don't know.
Chris,
yes.
Good points. I'll get really quick 3 points on the Knicks-Pacers series.
Mm-hmm.
First point is the game one I was watching at a bar. At 3 minutes left, the guy started making all those threes. I actually left. I've never actually watched the end of that game. I feel like that was soul-crushing from everything I've heard from my friends about that game. Yeah, that's just, I've seen that over and over with the Knicks-Pacers in the 90s, so I knew how that was going to end, and I couldn't be a part of that. I just felt like that was the crushing part of the series. I don't know how you feel about it. But
no doubt.
The second thing is, regarding the aprons, I'm not sure if you know how the aprons work, first and second.
I have a somewhat of an idea, but no, I'll be totally honest with you. I'm not exactly sure how the aprons work, no.
So I know Boston's getting hamstrung by it now, and
yes.
I'm sure that pretty soon the Cavs and Pacers, who are considerably smaller markets than New York in terms of ownership,
mm-hmm.
once they start getting crushed by guys like Miles Turner, the other players those teams have, I don't see why this isn't a 3 to 4 year window for the Knicks, as other teams are not going to be able to afford the tax. Dolan has no problem. Say what you want about him. He's going to still put up the money. So I think, I don't know how you pivot from Cat or you keep him, but this is going to be a 55-win team for the next 3 years. And I think it's just going to be a war of attrition where we're just going to wear down the other teams to the point where we're just going to force our way into the finals. And my final point is going to be, last year, this pretty much the same Pacers team. I think they had one player step up this year on the Pacers side, but with all of our injuries, we forced them to a game 7. this year, we were the healthiest we've ever been under Tibbs.
Yeah.
You could only go six. I don't get it. Like something, I don't know if it's a cat issue. I know that you said he won us one of the games in the Pacers series, but his defense was atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to call him a loser the way Geo did, but either Tibbs has to get through to him or you have to think about what else you could do instead of cat, because you can't have that kind of defense, that kind of atrocious defense. In the playoffs. And thank you for your time.
Yeah, I mean, you can if you're dynamic offensively. This is not the first time we've seen bad defensive players, you know, win. You know, I mean, it's not like you can't be a bad defensive team. You can have a bad defensive player. You got to find a way to make the rest of the team around him in the starting five better defensively. And that is a problem with this group. Like, you know, the one in the five and their two best players are not good defensively, but they, if you're dynamic offensively, it helps. So, I mean, it's not just so easy as, you know, this same team took this same Pacers team. This same Pacers team is different than last year just because they played together a year. Again, you look at it, they had as good a record as anybody in the NBA since January. Like, they have been a very good team. They are better than the team they were last year, despite having the same players. And quite honestly, if the Knicks don't blow game one, we are playing seven.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Like, that game one loss is... You're right. It's a gut punch, man. It's impossible to get over. It's impossible not to think about now that the series is over. It's impossible. They weren't good enough, and the Pacers are too good to blow that game one. Plain and simple. The Knicks, just, you know, they're just not good enough to give away a game they won, because that's, you know, it's a series against a very good Pacers team where you're going to lose some games and you're not going to be the better team every night. They had an opportunity to take a one game to none lead. It changes the entire series. It changes the entire series. They were the best. They were the better team that night. They were the better team. And they lost. It's hard to be the better team five times in a series. That's hard. Theoretically, like, you know, you have to win. If you blow that game, you technically got to win five times in a seven-game series if you want to win the series. It's hard. Now, that doesn't excuse how poorly they played in game six or how poorly they played in game number two. But I'm just saying, like, you're going to get a, it's hard. The Pacers are going to get a split, right? It's tough. You're going to get a split. They're going to get a split. Series is going to be tied 2-2. That's like kind of what you assumed. And then from there, you got to win the games. But like, they had their split. It just so happens that the Knicks blew the game one, and then the Pacers had the better of playing game two. Like, it works that way. Game one was a killer. It was an absolute killer. And it killed them. And they were still walking around with their heads cut off. We were trying to lie to ourselves that they could overcome it. And the fact was, they were never going to overcome it. They were going to lose that series the minute that ball went up in the air and fell back down. That was it. They were going to lose that series. I know they had a quick 4-point lead in overtime. I never believed it. That was the game. That was the series. Just like in Boston. Why did Boston lose that series? They didn't lose that series because by game six they were spent. They lost that series because they blew games one and two by 20-point leads in the fourth quarter. That's why they lost. Same thing in this Knicks series. They lost that series in game number one. Connor in Oakdale. What's up, Connor?
How you doing? I just wanted to talk about, I think the Knicks are fine. I know it's a crazy take right now.
It's not a crazy take. It's a less emotional take than most people have.
Yeah, I think Tibbs is the coach for us. I know it sounds crazy, but we're a town that's built off hustle and hard work, and that's what he envisions, and that's what we get.
Well, that's what he envisions, but unfortunately, would you use those words to describe the team this year?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah, I think I would, and especially like when it comes to Carl and everything, I think we're looking at as fact that they just came in this year. And yes, we're New York. We expect immediate success, but development is a huge part of the game. And these guys are there ready to go. Give them another year to learn. I think the biggest problem with McHale is he was the guy in certain instances, and he came here and he had to fit into a role. And I think he struggled with that. And I think it showed when Brunson was out, he was averaging 26 a night. He was dominating. And it just seems like when he has to fit into a role, he's a little bit less comfortable. I think we build these guys, maybe get some more bench guys. It seems like with this last playoff series that Tibbs is actually looking at the bench. You know, maybe he's understanding and realizing, like, my mindset isn't the right mindset. I got to learn. But our bench was DeLon Wright and Cameron Payne. So if we can build the bench, maybe even move McHale to second team, I think we have a weaponry of a squad. You know, if you let McHale run whatever he wants on the second team and let him just be the guy, I think we have a great situation. And, you know, thank you for the call. And yeah, I just want to hear your take on that. You know,
yeah, look, I don't disagree. McHale Bridges, whether it was because he was, you know, the guy, I mean, in Brooklyn, or was, you know, was leaned upon as the guy in Brooklyn. And coming here was a different role. Not only was it a different role, but it's a different team where he had two, you know, quote unquote, older brothers that he played with. Like, it was just a different dynamic for him. Maybe he never really got comfortable. If you told me McHale Bridges is going to be far better next year, it wouldn't shock me. I agree. I don't think the Knicks are in bad shape. I totally agree. I don't think that the Knicks are in this position where they can't win, or they're fundamentally flawed and it's never going to work like this, and they have to make dramatic changes, and they have to get rid of Karl-Anthony Towns, and they have to do this, and they have to do that. I don't agree. Now, I'm open to those things, though. That's all. Like, I also think that it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I'm not saying you can't trade Karl-Anthony Towns, that he's absolutely going to lead them to the NBA championship. I'm open to it if you can prove to me or show me that it makes them better. I'm open to anything. I'm not, you know, committed or in love with or, you know, tied to the idea that Karl-Anthony Towns has to be the guy for the New York Knicks. Jalen Brunson's the guy. Other than that, I'm open to it. But I don't disagree. If this team finds a way to improve themselves. Now, I know the last caller talked about the apron and all that and how it's going to impact other teams more than the Knicks and how, you know, James Dolan's going to be willing to spend more money than other guys. We'll see. Look, Tatum's going to be out all year. So the Celtics won't be as good. We'll see what happens with the Pacers. We'll see what happens with Cleveland. Obviously, the Pistons are an emerging team and had a really great year and played really well against the Knicks. But yeah, the Knicks can be better this year with this core. There's no doubt. Bridges can have a much better year. They can fortify the bench and give these guys less minutes throughout the year. Like, there's no doubt they could be better with Karl-Anthony Towns. I firmly believe that. I don't think they're in a bad spot. The window is open. They're young. They're talented. They have options. I don't think that this was like the year. Now, that doesn't change the fact that they had an incredible opportunity that I don't, despite having said all of that, I don't know if they're going to have it again. They might. Jalen Brunson might never see another Eastern Conference Finals in a Knick uniform. That is absolutely possible. That would be devastating. It would be heartbreaking. And game one, to me, would you know, unless this team does win a championship, it's as bad a loss as I've ever experienced as a Knick fan. Because I think it cost them the series. Now, again, I don't know if they beat OKC. In fact, I'd probably tell you I don't think they would beat OKC. Anything could happen. I'd love to be in that series and find out for sure. But if they never get back, which is a scary thought, but not out of the realm of possibility, no matter what they do, they could trade for Giannis and not get back to an Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know. They had an opportunity against a team that they were, you know, in my mind better than, but at no worse, just as good as, and had a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter and lost the game. I mean, they blew a lead. It's damn near impossible to blow. Up 14 points with 2.5 minutes left. They've got to do everything right, and you've got to do everything wrong to lose that game. They've got to get lucky, like they did with the shot from Halliburton. You got to be stupid, and things got to go against you in every one of 15 to 20 different things have to go exactly that way if you're going to blow that game. It's devastating. That is a devastating loss. But I don't think that they're done. I absolutely think Tibbs, Karl-Anthony Towns, and the structure this team currently has right now, if they add the right pieces, rebuild another year together, figure out a way to be more offensively dynamic between both Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns playing the two-man game. And the idea that Tibbs is incapable of that, like, what do we think of this guy? That he's strictly just like, yell at your defense, play minutes, he's a moron? I mean, he turned the whole franchise around, and now we act like he's an idiot who can't figure out anything offensively. I've been disappointed with some of the stuff. I have been. I've been disappointed with, you know, side out of bounds plays and offensive adjustments. It's not his strength, but you're telling me all offseason. And maybe they'll bring in an offensive guy to be his offensive assistant. Maybe they'll go through and try and target an offensive-minded coach to come in and help him. Are you telling me that all off year with the buy-in of Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, they can't find a way to make their games better together? As long as Tibbs is the head coach, that can't happen? It's crazy to me. Of course it can. Of course it can. The window for the Knicks is wide open. They are not doomed. They are not screwed. This was an opportunity wasted. Wasted. And I admit there is no guarantees they ever get back here again, and it might go down as one of the more bitter defeats in recent memory because of the lack of other opportunities. But they could easily, just as easily, be right back here next year. They could be in three of the next four Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think they are screwed. I don't think they need major changes, but I'm open to them. Kelvin in Bergen County. What's up, Kelvin?
What's going on, C-Mac? How's everything?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. No, I agree with you 100%. I don't think the Knicks need many changes. I love Tibbs. I just hope that for next year we get a better bench, and he actually uses the bench.
He has to change. There's no doubt about it. I love Tibbs. You love Tibbs. We all love Tibbs. He's got to adapt. He doesn't have to completely change, but he has to adapt, and he has to recognize that having a valid bench that you've built chemistry with and have somewhere you can go and lean on has got to be available to him in the postseason.
Yeah, and on top of that, like, you know, the change of the piece of play, you know, if you're playing guys 40, 44 minutes a game, they're not going to be able to get back up. They're going to be exhausted. They're not going to, like, pieces were up and down the course, left and right. But that's because they had, like, a good bench. They got good starters. They were resting their guys. You know, the Knicks, he needs to play a bench because to be able to keep up with the paces like that next year, you got to change that. The guys got to get back on defense right away.
No, I know, but I mean, I find it hard to believe that it's just because they're exhausted that they're giving up fast break points off of makes, off of made baskets.
But
some of it is just, I don't care how many minutes you give Karl Anthony Towns, he's going to lumber up the court. He's not that kind of player.
Yeah, no, he's not.
So they got to find a way. They got to find a way to be better at that. It's not. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I can't. You're telling me because of the minutes they've played that they're just, you know, the exhaustion that just has hit them that they can't find a little bit to go down the court and make sure that, you know, I don't know. I'm not entirely opposed to it. I just think that, you know, the players have got to be able to do it a little bit. I don't know.
Well, looking at it from an optics perspective, we look like 30-year-olds out there versus like 19-year-olds up and down the court. They were flying.
Yeah, they also have better. They're also deeper and better than with the depth. I mean, not every team. Like, look throughout the postseason. I know OKC and the two teams in the NBA Finals happen to roll pretty deep, but I mean, seven. Mm-hmm. You know, the Knicks were playing consistently seven or eight deep. I mean, that's pretty much what a lot of teams do, seven or eight deep. Now, if you want to take on the Pacers specifically, I agree with you. And they were built to beat the Celtics, so now they got to adapt and be built to also beat the Pacers. So there's no doubt. We both agree. They have to get a better bench, and then Tibbs has to be willing to play them. There's no doubt.
Yeah, let's see what they do next year. And I looked at the free agency pool. It's not that many. Of course, that would be our luck. There's not that many like superstars out there.
I don't think another superstar is coming. They're gonna have to make this work with Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson as their two best players. They're gonna have to make this work. I still think they can. Those two guys, along with a really well-rounded team, I think that's good enough to win. They've got to get better, and they need better. So, and they got to play better. Kareem in the Bronx. What's up, Kareem?
Hey, I'm glad you're with me. I know you were a little triggered last week, but I'm with you. Don't get rid of Tibbs. Just beat Mark Jackson, the guy who built the Warriors, a modern offense. He built the death lineups for the guys and developed the guys for the backups, and he also is aligned with Tibbs about old-school defense. He's the one who built the Warriors' defense and their modern offense. The difference is Steve Kerr had to go through the learning curve that Tibbs is going to have to about things like how do you deal with the rules that are orientated towards offense, how you deal with need to be able to stop the three first and drop defenses. I think Mark Jackson, who the league is unfairly blackball, especially when you care with guys like Luke Walton, and he's a Knick, he's a New York native, they need to bring him back and give him his karma back, give him his mojo back, give him his chance, And then that will help Tibbs will respect them enough to listen and learn. And I think their collective energy, the stuff they could create together as old school baseball, basketball lifers, could be something special. Just like Buddy Ryan with Mike Ditka.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a bit of a stretch, Kareem. Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka. He's been out of basketball for a while, at least coaching. I know, you're still broadcasting up until last year or 2 years ago, however long it's been now without him. Listen, I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion on Mark Jackson as a coach. I really don't, as an offensive coach. Yes, he helped start the Warriors, but there were issues there, and they got better after Kerr left. Like, that's why, like with Tibbs, and I know you're not asking for him to be the head coach, but with Tibbs, we hear this, oh, he can't get over the hump, he can't get over the hump. He had a team that went as far as they went. It's not like someone else came in and took that group to higher heights. Where you can point to Mark Jackson and say, I mean, clearly he left and Kerr was the right man for the job, and Kerr took that team to high heights. I mean, they owned the NBA for a stretch. Now, they had an incredible talent, don't get me wrong, but I'm not opposed to it. But the idea, because forget, like, you could say, what am I going to say to that? Mark Jackson, no, that's a terrible hire. I mean, there's been some issues with him and players. There's been some issues with him and how he conducts himself. There's been some issues overall with Mark Jackson. Is it the craziest thing in the world? I don't know. But the idea of hiring an offensive mind, whoever they deem that to be, whoever they decide, I don't like to necessarily play this game where I just go, oh, they should do this, they should do that. They're not listening to me, and it doesn't matter. But the idea of a strong, offensive-minded coach. Go bring back D'Antoni. A strong, offensive-minded coach to help. Bring in Phil Jackson and teach this team the triangle. I cracked myself up. With Carl Anthony Towns, the triangle would work perfectly. He's built for the triangle. You get Tyler Kolek and Carl Anthony Towns running the triangle? Woo! But no, bringing in a legitimate offensive coach to kind of be his assistant coach and work on that while he focuses on the defense and stuff. Like, I think, yeah. Now, Tibbs might have to swallow some pride to do that, especially if it's a big name. But, hey, it's better than losing your job. And there is no doubt, there is one singular focus for me. Outside of changing the dynamic of the team, and we don't know how Leon Rose feels about that. We don't know where he is on changing this team and how he feels about this group. And they know what's gone on behind the scenes. They know how practice has been held better than we do. So there's been some reports that the players had a problem with Cat's defensive issues or effort or whatever the case may be. So we don't know the dynamic of the team as well as Leon Rose does and as well as people around the Knicks do. So unless it's they've made the decision that changes need to be made with the roster, they're going to have to just tell they're going to have to focus on getting Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson to play better together. That's the number one focus. Outside of getting Giannis or changing or trading Kat for someone else and bringing in KD or whatever other crazy options that everyone's going to call me with or call the morning show with over the next whatever months. Outside of that, Karl Anthony Towns, Jalen Brunson have to have a better way to be offensively dynamic on the floor together. And if they can find a coach who specializes in that or a coach who believes he can have the answer to that or figure that out, then Tibbs has to welcome him with open arms because it's about winning. Real quick before the break, Kevin and Kopog. What's up, Kevin?
Copay. What's up, C-Mac?
What's up, Kevin? How are you, man?
Settle for a split. Let's send a message here.
Well, I understand you want to get greedy when you take the first. Heading in, you want to take a split. Now they've won the first game. Now you want to go make a statement and win 3 out of 4. Absolutely. But I'm just saying, if they come out with a split, it's a positive.
Talk about the Mets, though. They want to be Dodgers East. I thought the Dodgers had the pitching lead, Mark Pryor. Now they got like 15, 16 of these guys on the shelf.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Everybody's hurt. And, I mean, they really don't have a lab. They've been buying all the best pitchers. They go out and trade for Glasnow. Now, I mean, again, Glasnow, they go trade for Glasnow. They sign Snell. They go out and spend all their money on pitchers as opposed to just finding the Griffin Cannings of the world. So their pitching development has been great. Yamamoto, obviously. All the pitchers from Japan want to go there. So they've done it differently. They do have a pitching lab. They do have a development system. People do believe in how they develop starting pitching. But, yeah, right now they are just ravaged by injury. They have crazy numbers of injuries to the starting rotation. So the Mets are doing it far better than the Dodgers, there's no doubt.
What about my guy Alvarez? Big hit for him. But Gary and Keith talked about sending him down to AAA.
They were talking about that today on the broadcast, or which game were they talking about that?
Yeah, today. They were saying, you know, he's got to get his swing right, and Torrens has been nails.
Yeah, listen, I think there is a strong argument to play Torrens more than Alvarez. There has been. That was a big hit for him, that double to get the scoring going in the 10th. But, I mean, we talk a lot about Anthony Volpe and how he's disappointed as a top prospect. Alvarez was the top prospect in all of baseball at one point, number one. And, you know, he's come up here and been far better defensively. That was his issue. Nobody, you know, we weren't sure if he was going to be good enough to be a catcher. That's not been a problem. His offense has not nearly been as good as you need it to be. I don't know about sending him down. I think that, maybe if you really want to see if he can go find a swing down there, maybe breed some confidence. Sometimes it's not even about necessarily finding your swing. It's going down there, taking the pressure off, facing lesser opponents, and then just mashing and feeling good about yourself and having some confidence when you come up back from the minors. So I guess I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I think, you know, Torrens taking some playing time and Alvarez just having to deal with that is part of being a baseball player.
And Ronnie Mauricio, it's his time. I mean, these things happen.
Well, we'll see. Vientos obviously injured his hamstring. The manager said as much in the postgame. There's no question he's going to miss some time. It's just a matter of how much. And I would think if they know it's going to be like Weaver. So obviously, if you haven't heard, Weaver, the closer of the New York Yankees, pulled his hamstring as well. It was reported last night by Jeff Passan that he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. If that's the time frame for Vientos, I think it will be Mauricio. If it's not as bad, if the imaging comes back and they think he'll be back in 2 weeks, maybe not, but if he's going to be gone for a month, month and a half, 2 months, if it's a significant hamstring pull, I definitely do think that you could see Mauricio come up and get an extended run. There's no doubt. We had a lot of questions about how this roster was going to shake out as these guys are coming, get healthy. Siri's coming back. Obviously, Mauricio is making a statement and making a push to come back to the roster. And it was like, how are they going to fit all these guys? We hear the same stuff about the Yankees with Giancarlo Stanton. Where's he going to fit? What's going to happen to Ben Rice? Blah, blah, blah. These things sometimes, unfortunately, take care of themselves. Like the beginning of the year with the Yankees was also about what's Stroman? How they didn't trade Stroman. How's he going to fit into the rotation? And then they get decimated by injuries and suddenly he's the third star. These things happen. But the hamstring injury to Vientos absolutely opens up the door for Ronnie Mauricio to come in and take his place.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
All right, 241. Big Monaco here with you on The Fan. If you're just tuning in now, I was on at midnight. It's one of our five-hour midnight rides. You can go back on the Odyssey app, the rewind feature, go back on the podcasts. We opened up as the Mets were playing, and we reacted to some breaking news about Jared Weaver, the closer of the New York Yankees, and his hamstring injury as Luke Weaver, as he has hamstring injury, he's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks, and what that means for Devin Williams, we can get back to that as well. A lot of Nick talk, and of course, the Mets with a victory over the Los Angeles Dodgers in 10 innings after Diaz blows his first save of the year, gives up a sacrifice fly to Ohtani. But no worries. The New York Mets rally right back in the 10th and score two. Alvarez with a double to get the scoring started. And then the captain, Lindor, with the base hit down the third base line, scoring the second run of the inning. And the bullpen holds on. Buteau gets the final two outs. And the Mets win 4-3. 888-808-1019. Let's go to EJ in East Meadow. What's up, EJ?
Gene Rack, congrats on Saturday, man.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it,
bro. I listened to the whole show. I was like, oh, no, man, Z-Rank's growing up.
That's right. I'm growing up.
Let's go. Look.
I went from McDougal to McMonagle on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I heard that. I actually remember that episode with Steve Russo and stuff. So, you know, I've been with you guys since 87, since Susan opened it up. So,
there you go.
Real quick, I agree with you. I don't think two quick points on Tibbs. I agree with you. I don't think he should go anywhere. I think he should. I think probably by the end of the next season, you know, he's got to prove some stuff. The two things, player development in the NBA happens when you actually play your bench, when you're winning games during the regular season. Because they don't do a lot of practice and all that other good stuff where they're practicing against, like, real-life competition during the year. And if you look at Detroit, Oklahoma, you look at Indiana, even what San Antonio is doing, they play their bench, and we won 50-some-odd games. We could have played our bench to figure out whether or not they were ready, you know, when we got to the postseason. The other thing, too, that bothers me is everybody keeps giving him props for learning or whatever the case was in Game 3. He did it out of desperation because of the foul trouble issue. In Game 1, when we were going, when we saw the league go from 20 to 17 to 15 to 14 to 13, that's a good time. Hey, guess what? Let's see what our coach, what our defensive coach, what our coach is really about. That's a good time to try to figure out, hey, let's stop, let's figure it out and get those folks into it. It can't all, I know it's about the players, but then what the hell do you need a coach for, right? Them missing free throws and them, you know, then the turnovers and all that stuff, that's 100% on the players, 100%. But a really good coach figures out, hey, okay, yeah, this is what you guys are messing up on, and this is how we
I guess. All right, so Kenny Atkinson, who had a blown lead by these same Indiana Pacers and blew the lead, he's not a good coach. Mazzulla, who had two games.
No, I'm not saying he's not a good coach.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, it's not like he's the only coach. Look at how many big leads were blown throughout the league.
See, that's an excuse. It doesn't matter if he's not the only coach. The point is, If you have to be the coach for us, I don't care what all those other people did. If you're either good or you're not, when you get a job, it's not based off of what everybody else did. It's based off of about what you could potentially do better in the same situation. So it can't be. Oh well, you know, a lot of other people do it, so it's no big deal.
I know, but you could
stop the bleeding. He could stop the bleeding.
Of course, he could. He's allowed to do it. I understand that. But what I'm saying is that in today's game with the 3-point shot and everything that's going on, we're seeing it happen time and time again. This Indiana Pacers team did it to every opponent they played this year.
Right.
So I'm just, and the Knicks themselves, does he get credit for being the coach of the team that came from behind twice?
So
there we go.
I started the conversation off with, I don't think he should go anywhere. I'm just saying, I don't understand that point in reference to, oh, well, he figured it out in game three versus, hey, in game one, you could have also figured it out too.
Yeah, but
and
there's no,
let's be honest, if he's going to get credit for doing all the other stuff that he did, to get through the last 4 years, then hey, you're also the defensive guru. Figure out how you're supposed to stop them running, or instead of letting them dictate the pace, how about you figure out maybe a way that you dictate the pace? Yeah. That's what good teams do.
No, I don't disagree. They didn't play well in the series. I agree, and they could have done, I mean, I guess some different things.
So did he get one more year?
Yeah, I think he gets one more year. I mean, but he did. He definitely gets one more year for me. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to say that, you know, it's okay because other coaches. I'm just saying that there's no answer. Also, like, your premise is that there was something he could have done. Like, they lost, so we could look at it and say, well, what if he did this? What if he did that? You could always play the what-if game. Who knows if anything he could have done could have stopped what happened? Like, oh, if you bring in, like, the idea that if they play Shamit in the final minutes of game number one, they win the game. How do I know that? We're just making assumptions because he didn't and they lost. So it's easy to say, well, if he did, things could have been different. Well, they could have been. I don't know. I mean, Nesmith had a couple of open threes. He also had a couple of amazing shots. I don't know if you could have played Mitchell Robinson, their best defender, was on Halliburton when he puts up the miracle shot. Like, I don't know how much I don't know what he could have done that guarantees them a victory. If you just want to say, hey, they blew the lead, he's the coach, it's on him. Yeah, I'm okay with that on some level. He does deserve some share of blame, no doubt. But when we say he didn't figure it out necessarily, I don't think anyone's saying he figured it out in Game 3. He made adjustments in Game 3 and played his bench. And if you say it's out of desperation, part of it's out of desperation. The guy's never been desperate before. The guy's never been desperate. He never plays the bench ever. Ever. They weren't desperate at any point. They weren't in foul trouble at any point against Detroit. He made a conscious effort to do something different in Game 3. He could have stuck with his guys. He made an adjustment, and it worked. So that's my problem with the stuff on Tibbs. I know you started by saying, hey, Tibbs is a good coach, I want him back, or whatever, but your premise was it's his fault he didn't make adjustments in game number one. He had an opportunity to make defensive adjustments in game number one, and he didn't do it, and they lost. And then game number three, he made adjustments in the fourth quarter, and they won, but you want to wash that away as, hey, that was just desperation. So when he didn't make adjustments, shame on him. He's the head coach. He's got to make sure they don't lose that game. When he makes adjustments and they go on and win the game down by 10 in the fourth quarter, well, that was just desperation. I don't really want to give him credit for that. I mean, well, he had to do something. He was desperate because of foul trouble. That doesn't really count. Like that's where we get into this stuff where it's his fault for the loss. He doesn't get credit for the win. Alan in Long Island, what's up, Alan?
Hey, what's up, Chris? And listen, you never have enough pitching. That's just the bottom line to baseball, and
it's true.
I don't see what the Mets fans are really crowing about. You know, with Soto, eventually he's going to hit. But he is a lifetime 285 hitter. He got $700 million. It was perfect timing. He had the perfect guy hitting behind him last year. I mean, all the stars lined up, except they didn't win the World Series. If they win the World Series, you couldn't have come up with a better scenario than that.
Yeah. Not really sure what your point was. I don't know what to, listen, the Met fan and all the nonsense, and I don't want to get into it because it's Twitter. Right, and it's not the real Met fan. I know that it's not the real. And also, if you see me on Twitter, like, understand, it is different. Like, I'm having fun on Twitter. I send out a bunch of sarcastic tweets on Twitter. I react to the people who go after me on Twitter. I don't do it here as much. This is different. This is the radio show. So if you see me on Twitter, put out something like relax. And also, if you see us, if you see WFAN put out a post or something about that one remark I made in a 20-minute rant, like, go back and listen before you make the assessment of I'm trolling or I'm doing this or I'm doing that. But, like, the Met fan, you say crowing, like, the Met fan in this whole Soto thing and the Yankee dynamic, it's been crazy. It's just too much back and forth. And, I mean, who's Big Brother and this acts like Big Brother and blah, blah, blah. I will say this. I can't tell you how many Met fans, and I'm sure now that they won game one, I can't wait till people wake up and actually, you know, aren't half asleep and want to. And actually, I'm going to go back at the Met trolls who are going to tweet me tomorrow and go, what, you weren't up with your team? You weren't watching the game? You couldn't tweet me at 1 o'clock in the morning? But they have taken massive joy in alerting me to the idea that the Yankees struggled against the Los Angeles Dodgers, and struggled is putting it mildly. They got their ass kicked on Saturday, although they did salvage the third game of the series. But very happy to point out that the Mets won their series against the Dodgers, and now they've taken game one of this series as well, and the Yankees got their ass kicked and blown out by the Dodgers. And so immediately out comes the Yankees playing the inferior league in the American League. It's a joke. That's why when you finally face real competition, ha, 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 the Mets won the series against the Dodgers. You got your ass kicked, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's amazing because we will crow about anything. Like you mentioned, you don't know what the Met fans are crowing about. I don't know what your Juan Soto point was exactly. But I will say both fan bases, like we're crazy. I mean, the Met fans, you lost to the Yankees. You lost the Subway Series. It's not that big a deal, but you lost. The idea that you think it's okay to crow and troll Yankee fans because of mutual opponents, that you played better against the Dodgers than the Yankees did when they went head-to-head, the Yankees took 2 out of 3. And I'm not trying to boast about that. I'm just saying I find it funny how many people hit me up to troll me on the idea that the Mets played better against the Dodgers. Like, okay, when they played heads-up, who won? That's it, and that's just to point out how crazy it is. We try to find every little stupid thing, both Yankee fans and Met fans, to go back at each other. It's fun in one sense that we had this new dynamic with the Soto thing and how it's changed, and now we really feel like every opportunity to troll the other fan base, but it's also just stupid. I can't tell you how many Met fans hit me up. Ha ha ha. This is what happens when you play. And that's what got me about Max Fried, too. Max Fried didn't stink. Max Fried just finally faced a good team. Like, you're downplaying how good Max Fried has been. And he did it against the Tigers. He did it against Seattle. And don't tell me Seattle's offense stinks. The previous years it has, and it's not a world beater, don't get me wrong. But they've got Cal Raleigh. They've got a bunch of guys with above 700 OPS. They've been a better offensive team this year. He did it against the San Diego Padres. He did it against the Mets. The Yankees haven't built this division lead on the backs of playing the division. They're yet to play the Red Sox. They lost the series to Baltimore. They lost the series to Tampa Bay. Like, it's not like they've been pounding on the lousy division to get this division record. They have a above 500 record against teams above 500. They got one of the better records in baseball. I think the Mets now have the best record in teams above 500. The Yankees are right there with them. Like, what are we talking about? Let's talk about the real issues with the teams, and not whether or not it's a winning argument that the Mets beat the Dodgers and the Yankees lost to the Dodgers. Like, who cares? I could tell. I honestly, the Dodger series, and I said this yesterday, the Dodger series for the Yankees. Yeah, on some level, do you want retaliation? I was quoted as payback. It was just I was throwing the word around. Obviously, I know they could have swept the Dodgers and outscored them by 15 runs in each game. It doesn't get payback for losing the World Series. But, yeah, you'd like to make a statement against a team that ran their mouth after beating you in the World Series? Sure. Right? And we thought we were on their way to doing that in the first game when Judge hits the home run and they jump out to an early lead with Max Fried on the mound. That game goes sideways. They get their ass kicked on Saturday. They win on Sunday. Like, that series, honestly, it doesn't mean anything to me. Like, it's arguably the least important of series you could possibly play. They're in the National League West. They couldn't be further away. How they play against the American League has a much greater impact on the postseason. How they play against Cleveland coming up is far more important. How they play inside this lousy division, whether you want to call it lousy or whatever, it's far more important to the New York Yankees. It's about getting wins. It's about being the best team you can be and winning games. That's it. And winning important games that will dictate where you line up in the American League postseason, not against the Dodgers. It doesn't matter. It matters far more for the Mets to play the Dodgers than it does for the Yankees. And the idea that, you can't measure up against the Dodgers. Newsflash, the Yankees might not even have to. The Yankees will not play the Dodgers again unless it's in the World Series. So obviously the Yankees have to get back to the World Series and through the American League. And even if they get there, the Dodgers have to be the team there. Otherwise, these three games mean absolutely jack squadoosh. But we treat it like it's some sort of, real idea of who the Yankees are. It's so dumb. So dumb. 888-808-1019. Who they are right now is a team that has Devin Williams as their closer. That's far more important to me, concerning to me, interesting to me, and interesting and important to the team than whether or not they got their ass kicked on Saturday against the Dodgers. It's just the game. The Dodgers got swept by the Angels. So if the Angels somehow, who did something, we'll talk about this in a little bit, the Angels who did something no one's ever done at Fenway before, and Mike Trout hit a 450-foot home run today at Fenway, if the Angels somehow find themselves into the World Series, clearly they'll be the favorite because they swept the Dodgers.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.